Well, good evening and welcome all, but especially to William. William, this is your first time in Carrick Baptist
It is. It
in
is.
some sense.
Unfortunately, virtually tonight. Just apologies to
Yes.
everybody. I had been very much looking forward to being there this evening. I was heading up the road, and the sun was shining, and the road was dry, and it was a lovely day. It had a lovely sandwich, and I was really looking forward to being there. And then car went. So,
And the
unfortunately,
spirit said,
like this.
don't go there.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, very good. Well, listen, it's been great that we can get something in place and still have you meeting with us for an update. I thought that we would start with a bit of an introduction, yourself, William. You haven't been with us before, and so I thought maybe I'll ask a couple of questions. The first
Sure.
one being, William, is that you share your name with a 17th century pirate.
That's correct. Yes.
Captain William Kidd.
Yes.
And I'm just conscious, just for anybody who maybe has received our weekly email and has come out tonight under pretenses. And just to clarify for them, you're not a pirate.
No, not at the moment. Not yet, anyway.
No, not a pirate. You're in fact a
Well,
missionary.
I have heard. He was the first pirate to. I think pirates are famous for burying their treasure, and I think he was the one who made that famous. He was the first pirate to bury his treasure, apparently.
There you go. There you
Yeah.
go. Well, that's something for anyone who's come out tonight on the pretense of piracy. There's something for them anyway.
Yeah.
William, do you want to tell us maybe a wee bit about your background, how God has led you into the ministry that you're in?
Sure, yeah. So, well, obviously know my name now. I'm married to Yvonne. We have five children, ranging from 19 down to 11. We were living happily married, and I was and five kids. Everybody was getting along with their lives just fine. I suppose in the church that I was involved in, which is Tullamore Bible Church, which has just recently joined the association. There, I suppose about 10 years ago, I just started doing some studying, and just started doing small bits of leading and things like that. And just I'd been doing the Sunday school for quite a while, and just gradually over time, the Lord showed that there might be a possibility of maybe further study, and also just grew that. Just wanted to maybe do more. We were blown away. We were amazed, and so September 2017. And the preparation and graduated in 2020, just when COVID hit, just at that exact time. So, yep. And that was difficult enough, I suppose, because graduate, there was no speaking in church stuff. So we had to wait for a long time. But sometimes the Lord uses those periods of waiting to grow us and help us to maybe understand a little bit more. And so during that time, I had been down to Waterford before COVID hit. And then when the lockdown lifted eventually in 2021, I just renewed the fellowship with the folks in Waterford, and then from there, then and also then during college, I'd also come to know Mervyn Scott fairly well, and so that was also how we ended up knowing a lot about Baptist missions as well, and so the two things just coincided together, and then in the end, then after a bit of a process, but we got there, and we ended up coming to Waterford in September 2022, which is amazingly 2.5 years ago. I could blink and miss that, but yeah, so we've been here 2.5 years.
Great, great. Thank you, William. Listen, let me pray and then I'll hand over to you for the update. So let's pray. Lord, we ask now for practical mercies that technology would hold up and allow us to conduct our meeting well. We ask that you would lead William with your spirit as he shares, and that this would be an evening where you are glorified, where Jesus's name is lifted high, and that we would have our prayer lives informed and be challenged to step further into our role in the mission work which Christ has given to each and every one of us. It is in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
William, over to you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Tim, and everybody there. And again, apologies that I can't be there. I really was looking forward to coming this evening, and so yeah, apologies. But we'll do our best with technology. So as I mentioned, I just graduated from Irish Baptist College 2020, and then COVID and all that, and weren't sure what was going to happen. And then in summer of 21, we started coming down to Waterford, and then Baptist Missions then also got involved in when the church here had called us, because of course it is an existing church in Waterford. In fact, one of the oldest churches. In fact, this year it celebrates its 375th year in existence. And so, yeah, that's an amazing thing as well. But we're very glad, and we're here. I just wonder, I know I can't fully see, I can see the camera, but has anybody been to Waterford or ever visited Waterford? Let's see, a few hands. Yeah. So Waterford, it's a lovely place. It's a very old city. It has about 60,000 people living in Waterford in the city. We live in a little town called Tremor, just south of Waterford. And so within an hour's driving distance of Waterford, there's over 500,000 people. And so it's just a great opportunity. The church in Waterford has historically been small, and it's amazing numbers have joined, amazing people have joined in the last few months. And that's been such an encouragement, and we're so glad for that. But that's only possible, and we can only be here because of the assistance and the help and the support that Baptist Missions and the association have shown to the Waterford Church. And I just want to bring greetings from the church and say how thankful the folks are here for people's prayers and the support that we have from Baptist Missions and the association, and how thankful we are because of that. Just a couple of things about Baptist Missions. Many of you know, and I know lots of you know about prayer news. Maybe you get it into your email every Friday afternoon. I know Mervyn has started a new thing where Baptist Missions have started a WhatsApp. So you can get it on your WhatsApp. If you get your number to Mervyn, he will do that. But there's lots of different ways you can find out about that if you don't already know about prayer news. One of the other things initiatives that has been ongoing in the last year or so or more is Target 1000, where this is an initiative to get 1,000 people to give £10 or €12 a month if you're in the South. And so that is, I think they nearly hit that. I think it was in January the deadline was, but I think Mervyn will be happy enough to take more, even if anybody is not already giving. That's a wonderful and an easy way, and it's only a couple of coffees a month, and just a way to practically give only a small amount, but that makes a huge difference to Baptist Missions, and just so thankful for the support and prayer, especially the prayer. And if you're available in May, of course, an assembly week in Tuesday, the 13th of May, the missions night is on, and Matthew Campbell is going to be the speaker. And there'll be, if you're online at 7 o'clock, if you're watching online, there will be the usual, I know Mervyn usually does a catch up at 7 p.m. before missions night begins at 7:30. But if you're actually going, it's in Ballinahinch Baptist, and Matthew Campbell is the speaker the night of missions night. And I hope to be there myself, and really looking forward to joining with just in worshiping and thanking God for the ongoing work of Baptist Missions. And amazing to think even of the work in Peru, almost being 100 years. That's really so interesting to read and to know about that, and looking forward to finding out more about that as well. But so in Waterford, we are really, really thankful. And we are so thankful for the support that we have through Baptist Missions and all the churches in the association because of that. And as I said, Waterford claims to be the oldest city in Ireland. It claims to have begun its charter as a city in AD 914. But interesting, as I said, there's been a Baptist witness 375 years. There's been a Baptist witness in Waterford City since 1650. And I'm certainly very thankful for God's faithfulness throughout that time. But I came down in September 2022. I got a letter. Somebody just sent a letter to the church here just after I arrived. He's actually a friend of my uncle, and he lives in England. A very interesting man. He's in his 90s now. But his father was the pastor of Athlone Baptist Church in 1940. And they came to Watford. He remembers in the summer of 1940 sitting in Watford Baptist Church. And he wrote me a very elderly man, the most amazing letter. And I was so encouraged. And he just spoke about the great war that wages continually with our great enemy. And that was such an encouragement to be beginning work in mission and beginning work here in Watford, as I said, in what has been a small work here for so many years. But we are just so thankful for the work that has gone before us and for the support and the encouragement that the Lord has been to us over the last few years. Watford City, it's very old, but it's also at the same time, a very modern city. As I said, there's 60,000 people live in the city, 15,000 in Tramore. Parts of Waterford are very affluent. There's a major teaching hospital. There's a major university in Waterford, so loads of students. There's a lot of people come to work in Waterford, and it's also very, very... Waterford is very culturally diverse. We have lots of different nationalities. There was somebody here today from Ghana. We have people from the Ukraine. We have Brazilian people. We have people from Zimbabwe, from Congo, many, many different nationalities. And Waterford is like that. Lots of different nationalities living here. But a lot of the people from Waterford who would be traditionally people of Waterford, and Irish people in general, probably not, probably similar to many, many other places in north or the south of the island of Ireland. People are culturally content here. So when you tell them there's good news that they need to hear, they go, I don't need to hear any good news. I'm quite happy where I am. I don't need your help. I don't need God's help. Many of them would have good jobs and they've nice houses and they're quite affluent. And even there's many areas in Waterford that are not so affluent or are very maybe deprived areas, but they are very proud and very happy and culturally comfortable. They don't see a need for anybody to come and tell them anything new that they hadn't heard before. But most people also the majority would be Roman Catholic. They would be from a Roman Catholic background, but they would never go to church, but they would still get their children christened and they would get married and all the usual things that people do in church. But they don't ever actually go to church. So most people are happy to accept anything. They'll accept mysticism or spirituality in any form, Eastern philosophy. And especially in the south coast of Ireland, you'll find spirituality is huge. Anything, as long as it's not Christian, they're very happy to take that on board. And one thing that we've noticed is very popular, even we've just celebrated St. Patrick's Day. And one of the things that is very popular is to take like St. Patrick or St. Bridget or some of the older saints original Christians that came here, and they would say, oh, they weren't actually Christian. They were actually Celtic and they were pagan. And the Christian church just changed that for their own uses. And people love to do that and say, oh, well, we're originally Celtic. We don't need any of this tradition. We don't need church. We don't need anything like that. So they'll say, I believe my truth. You can believe yours, that's lovely for you, but don't tell me what I need to believe or that I need a savior. And so lots of people would wear a cross around their neck as a piece of jewelry. But as a message, as Paul tells us, it's an offense to them. And so it's a difficult place also, but as I said, there's been some great encouragements, and the folks from the church are really excited about what's happening. And as I said, we've had some new members join, and even a family today we're talking about coming regularly, and so that's been really encouraging. And so we also see a huge potential in Waterford. As I said, 60,000 people in the city, and so we see just a great potential. And the one thing about the church, if you've ever been to Waterford, the church is actually right in the middle of the city. It's not on the outskirts, and that's quite unusual. But Waterford's an unusual city because many people actually still live in the city centre. So they haven't moved out. The Catherine Street, where the church sits in Waterford City, I'd say maybe 50 to 60% of the buildings are still residential buildings. And so even it was amazing at our carol service just before Christmas, I just called to some of the doors and just said hello to people and just invited them to our carol service. And one man in particular, we were really encouraged that he came along. Our next door neighbor had never been in the church before. He's lived there for 10 years. He didn't even know there was really anything going on in the church. And so that was great to welcome him for our carol service. Yeah, I better say something. I'd mentioned at the beginning that is about Waterford and about the city and about the church. I'll share some encouragements with you in a few moments, but I hadn't mentioned my wife Yvonne or our family, and I better introduce them as well. I think there was I don't know if there's a PowerPoint picture of them, but Yvonne is my wife. And as many of you know, if you get prayer news, you will know of the saga of our house, even from the very beginning of moving down with our rental house. It was a bit of an adventure, to say the least. And we're still looking for a house to buy. And so we've had to move house in the meantime to another rental house. And just for Yvonne and our children, those moves have been, I would say, a big deal for them. It's easy for me. I just go in and out of the church and I go and do whatever I'm doing. But for them, that's been a huge thing. I just want to say about my wife, Yvonne, what an amazing blessing my wife has been to me. And oftentimes I have to go to churches and she's not with me when I go, and I'd love to bring her with me. But she wouldn't probably get up at the front anyway, because she would never be found at the front of a church. But I couldn't do, we couldn't be in Waterford. Only apart from the fact that Yvonne is such an such a helper. You know, in Genesis it says about God made a helper suitable for Adam. That is truly what Yvonne is to me, and our children as well. Some of the folks there, I think, might know Heidi, our daughter. She's in Queens in Belfast studying. She's 19. Joseph, our second son, he is our first son, our second child. He is hoping to go to do next year maybe music. Not exactly. He hasn't pinned it down exactly yet, but he will be finishing his school and he is heading to college next September. Then Paul is our middle child. He is just in the middle of secondary school. And Nathan and Phoebe are 12 and 11, and they are just coming to the end of primary school. And so that is our family, Yvonne and Heidi, Joseph, Paul, Nathan and Phoebe. And just to say what a help and that just a support Yvonne is to me in the work here in Waterford. It couldn't be done without them either. So very thankful for them. In the work here, we've said about Waterford, the city, what it's like. The work here in the church, we've been very encouraged over the last few months. As I said, we've had some new members. We've had 14 people joined in membership just around Christmas time. That was an amazing thing. One of the blessings for us with the upheaval in Ukraine and Eastern Europe has been the influx of people here. And so we have some families of Ukrainians who come along. And so 9 of the people that joined are Ukrainian. A Polish-Irish family joined as well, and a couple of Irish ladies. And that's been such an encouragement to the church. 14 people. When we moved to Waterford, there was 9 people in membership. We made it 11. And so we've just changed that to 25 people. And so we're so thankful for that. And as I said today, even in church today, there was a family talking about coming more regularly. And so just really, really encouraging. The Ukrainian folk actually have a service in Ukrainian at 9 a.m. on a Sunday morning. One of the families that came, they lead that. And that's just a kind of an informal time of prayer and worship before we meet in English. But they come over around an hour on the bus. They have to travel. They live in a town just outside Waterford. It takes them an hour in the morning. They come and they come to church at 9. But they stay, and usually they're the last people to leave. They'll stay and they'll come and they'll clean up when we have tea and coffee after the church service at 11 a.m. And they've been a huge benefit to the church and a blessing. And even through all they've been through, they are blessing us here, and we're so thankful for them and their work and service here. And also just some of the things that we've been involved in over the last year or two. One of the things, and again, just to highlight the partnership in the gospel of Baptist Missions and the association, the Moira Church, Moira Baptist Church, have been an amazing help to us practically. And they've also sent a team down each summer since we got here who have run a holiday Bible club, which we could not do. We would not, nobody in the church would be capable of doing that. And we could not do that on our own here. But that's been an amazing amazing success, and so thankful for that partnership in the gospel that we could share with Moira Baptist. And another thing as well that was a huge help to us last year is we had the amazing journey just before the summer in May last year in one of the schools, the school where our kids go, but the kids loved it in the school, and we were also able to advertise the Holiday Bible Club for the Moira team. And so the first year the Moira team came down, we had like maybe 8 or 10 kids on the first day of the Holiday Bible Club. This year, there was 35 kids registered for the first day in July this year, 2024. And so we're so looking forward. They actually have already committed to sending a team in 25. And so we're so thankful for that partnership and fellowship in the gospel. And even to know, even we tell the young people here how the kids, the teenagers in Moira are praying for them. Every Friday night, they meet and gather and pray for our teenagers here. That's such an encouragement, and it's just such a wonderful positive thing about the partnership between Baptist Missions and all the different churches. So we've had lots of new members, we've had the amazing journey, we've had the Holiday Bible Club last summer, and then as I said, we've had the new members, and one of the people that joined has been a Christian for some time. She's a young lady, but she does a lot of work with the United Beach Missions, and she was convicted about baptism back in the autumn time, and she was baptized in October, at the end of October. I'm not sure if you can highlight the slide, but you might be able to see the sea was very rough. It wasn't that cold, it was just really windy, but it was actually quite fun. We went out to Tremor and we had the baptism there, and it was just such a wonderful time that we could just to be visible, that we weren't hidden away in the church somewhere. We were actually out. I'm sure people thought we were nuts getting into the water at that time of year, but it was an amazing time that we could just, even a few people stopped and we could share with them what we were doing, and so thankful for that baptism as well. And also then, one of the things, just on Monday past, we had a St. Patrick's Day outreach. I'm not sure if you've read the little booklet that David Luke from the Irish Baptist College has written. That's a really, really helpful little booklet. It's actually really well written, and it's really good to be able to share. Instead of just giving somebody a tract, we were stopping people in the street and we'd say, listen, do you want a booklet? It's actually a proper booklet. It's not just a tract, so don't take it if you're not going to read it. But it was amazing how many people were so surprised and really thankful. And a few people said to me, how much is it? They wanted to pay for it. But that was a great time. And it was lovely for some of the people in the church to be able to share and to come together. And it was a nice time of fellowship that we could have, sharing the gospel with others in Waterford. And so we're very thankful for these things that have been such an encouragement. So lots of encouragements, lots of challenges. It's not all easy. It's difficult. It's small, and sometimes that can be discouraging. But always something to surprise you. And like I said, this church has been here for nearly 400 years. And so there's people that haven't been here for 400 years, but they've been here for a good long number of years. And so there's been lots of change as well. And so just pray for the church in Waterford. Pray for us here in Waterford, for those people who have been here for a long time, for the new members who've just joined, for the people who are coming. Like I said, we've two different families came today. And that was so encouraging. And they had both spoken about maybe coming more regularly. So as I said, really encouraging, and just so thankful for the Lord's goodness to us in all these things. I'm not sure if you have the prayer points there. I'm trying to remember them. Just give thanks for just the encouragements, for the new members, for the baptism that happened before Christmas. And just give thanks for the St. Patrick's Day outreach, and pray also that the leaflets, the booklets that were taken, that people would read them. There's a man also, which I failed to mention, a man called Richie. Richie is from a pretty difficult background, and he has just started doing Christianity Explored. And so I'd really love if you could pray for Richie. He hasn't been able to come the last couple of weeks for various reasons, but I would really ask that you pray that he will be able to come this week, and that he would continue, and that he would, you know, finish Christianity Explored, because he's really searching, and he's nearly there, but just pray. He still has some things about being a good person, so just pray that the gospel would really sink into Richie's heart. Pray for us as a family. Pray for our housing situation. Pray for our son, Joseph, who is just going to finish up school this year. And pray for the unity in the church. As I said, people have been here ages, and then there's people who have just joined. Just pray for unity in the church, and also for the people of Waterford, that the people of Waterford would be receptive, and the Holy Spirit would be at work in people as we try and share the gospel message that we have. It's the same message that Patrick had. It's the same message that the church started off with 375 years ago. It's just the same message that we have to share today. But just prayer and the practical support that we receive from, as I said, from Baptist missions, from the association, and from individual churches like Mora, and even the opportunity to come and share with you guys this evening. We're so thankful for that, and it's so encouraged by it. So I think that's all the prayer points that we have. And thanks to the guys for so quickly arranging the Zoom link. Wasn't sure what was going to happen when we're on the side of the road, but thanks a million for setting that up. And just before we finish and close, I just want to share with you an encouragement from Mark chapter 4. This is something that I find, we're preaching through the book of Mark, so we went through this last year sometime, but I find this passage of scripture so helpful for missions work. It's where Jesus in Mark chapter 4 is speaking. He has told them the parable of the sower, and then he gives them these three brief parables about what the kingdom of God is like. How does it grow? Who makes it grow? How does it grow, and what is the kingdom like? And just those three things, just very, very briefly, just want to share with you this evening. We'll read Mark chapter 4. We're going to begin at verse 21. We'll read down to verse 32. As I said, I just find these so encouraging to know that there's nothing, there's no formula that I can come up with, or anybody else, there's no thing that I can do, there's no project that I can come up with to make anybody change, to make anybody believe the gospel or pick up a booklet and read it, that it's unless the Lord is the one who's working. My work is in vain unless he's working. So Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 21. And he said to them, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. And he said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants, and puts out large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. And we'll finish our reading there. And we thank God for the reading of his word, which he always blesses. We are so thankful to him. Many years after the Berlin Wall was torn down, a woman who had been involved in the underground church in East Germany obtained the files that the secret police had held on her. She had served for 30 years as the central contact person in that fellowship of churches in Berlin, and she was shocked to discover the extent to which the secret police had penetrated the group of people that she was involved with. Virtually every single prayer meeting that she had been at in East Germany had a page in that file. But there were some interesting things missing from the file. The very first meeting that they'd had back when the Berlin Wall was being erected, they had this meeting. And the leader of the group in East Germany, in Berlin at that time, he encouraged his little group and he told them, during the meeting that with the many questions that they had about how this was going to work and how they would be able to stay safe, he encouraged them with these words. He said, "Don't worry," and excuse my German, he said, "Der Herr will take care of that. Don't worry," he would say at the meeting, "Der Herr will take care of that." In German, of course, Der Herr means Mister, it means Sir, or it means Lord. In the margin of the typed file that this German secret police had kept on this lady, there was a handwritten note on the file. It said, "Despite a great deal of effort and months of intensive investigations, we still do not know who Der Herr is or where he lives." They thought it was a physical person who lived somewhere in Berlin. They didn't know, and they couldn't see it because they were blinded to the fact that this man was talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, of course, it is the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who grows the kingdom. Because the kingdom is all about the fact that the Lord Jesus has come, God in the flesh has come to us. He is the spiritual light. He is the lamp we read in the first parable. And it said, had the lamp come in to be brought under the basket or under the bed or to be put on the stand, it had come to be put on the stand. And in that culture, a lamp was a much simpler affair than we have today. They just had one lamp, they had one bushel, and they had one stand to put the lamp on. And so lamps are inanimate objects. They don't come and go of their own volition. And so at that time, it was a little simple pottery bowl is what the lamp was. But when they had this one lamp, they would put it in the place of most prominence to get the most light they could from this little lamp. And of course, Jesus, in this parables we've just read, is not giving us instructions on interior decoration. The Bible says that in him was life, and that life was the light of men. Jesus is the lamp. Jesus is the who of the kingdom. He is the kingdom. And of course, he had spoken in that parable of a secret that was hidden. But it's not a secret that's hidden like the witness protection program where you're never to be found again. This secret that is hidden in his word is something which is there to be found by whoever will read it and look for it. Maybe like a birthday gift or an Easter egg hunt. If you know, things are hidden in order to be found. So this message of the kingdom is something that's in his word to be found. It's not hidden under a basket. That would be silly. It's not to be hidden under the bed. We are responsible to share about this lamp that has changed our lives. And that's what we're doing. That's what we're trying to do in Waterford. Not that we are great, but that the lamp, the life that was the light of the world, has come into the world. That's the message we have to share. And in the second parable about the growing seed, we see, how does this kingdom grow? We have the who of the kingdom. Now we have the how of the kingdom. And there's two things that we can see in this passage about the kingdom. The kingdom's growth is almost imperceptible, but it's absolutely inevitable. It's almost imperceptible. It's like a man scattering seed on the ground, and he sleeps and rises night and day, and he knows not how the seed grows. We scatter the seed. We don't know how it grows. It's almost imperceptible. It's absolutely inevitable. I don't know about you, but I've never actually observed my grass literally growing. I can see that it has grown, but I've never observed the movement of the grass growing. But I know it has grown because I have to go out and I have to tend it. I have to cut it and I have to look after it. But it's slow, isn't it? It's steady. It's almost imperceptible. You almost can't see it. And the kingdom of God, that's what it says it's like. It's not like the world sees. You don't find slow and steady growth. It doesn't make the headlines, does it? It happens over time. And so the tiny victories that Christians might make every day to grow closer to God, you don't hear of those on the 9 o'clock news. Because growth like that is not measured by worldly standards. It is spiritual growth and growth in character. because the success, it doesn't depend upon us, it depends upon God. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians that he himself will sanctify you completely. He's working in your life. If you're trusting in the Lord Jesus, if you're depending upon him, it's almost imperceptible, but the outcome is absolutely inevitable. And what an encouragement. What an encouragement for mission. What an encouragement for our Christian lives. Maybe we've been praying about something, maybe a loved one that we've been praying about for years, and we're waiting and waiting for that result. And yet, if he has started the work, it might seem almost imperceptible, but it's absolutely inevitable. To the world, this looks like foolishness. Because the world wants a show of might, and it wants a show of power, and it wants something instantly. It wants instant gratification. But the victory for the Christian is in the service and sacrifice that we offer to him because of what he has done for us, what the lamp has done for us. If you think of the cross, our ultimate hope, the cross looked like defeat. It looked like he was losing. But he takes the worst thing that ever happened and turns it into the best thing that ever happened. But it looked like he was losing. It didn't look like he was winning. And that's a mystery. And we know what was the result. Well, at the time it seemed almost imperceptible, but by 40 years later, the apostles had spread the gospel message over the whole known world. They'd gone to Rome. It couldn't have gone any further in the Roman kingdom in 40 years. But I bet you for those apostles, I bet you that 40 years was difficult. I bet you that seemed almost imperceptible. But God is the one who was giving the increase. So we've had the who of the kingdom, the how of the kingdom. But what is this kingdom like? Well, the parable we'd read was like a mustard seed, wasn't it? And what was that? What does that mean? Well, it's a bit similar to the parable of the growing of the seed. But here we see this physical mustard seed. What is that like? Well, a mustard seed is the tiniest of all the seeds. And you don't have to work out all the details of a mustard tree and the branches and the birds and the garden plants. What's important to see is that although the kingdom of God in Jesus is totally unlike what the world perceives as strong, it seems totally insignificant, doesn't it? It has tiny beginnings, but it has a triumphant conclusion. You see, tiny beginnings, a triumphant conclusion, the greatest of all the plants. This kingdom begins like a seed, which if you dropped on the ground, you wouldn't be able to find it. If you're like me and you need your glasses. But this kingdom begins like a mustard seed, but it grows into the most triumphant thing. The triumphant kingdom, which can never be destroyed. And one day is going to be revealed in a glory and magnificence, which will make this earth seem to pale in comparison. Isn't that what Paul says? This present suffering is earning for us an eternal weight of glory that we have to look forward to, this triumphant conclusion of this kingdom. So why keep going in the Christian life? Why keep going in mission? Tiny beginnings, but a triumphant conclusion. And I just want to find that passage so encouraging, and I hope it's encouraging to you as well. And maybe you have the prayer points there. I'm not sure what's happening when we're finished. I'm just going to pray, and then I'll hand back to Tim then, if that's okay. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for this evening. Thank you for Carrickfergus Baptist Church. Thank you for your faithfulness to your people, O God, and thank you for the gathering this evening. Thank you for Waterford Baptist Church. Thank you for Baptist Missions, for the association, and thank you most of all for your word and what it tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for blessing us this evening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.